Today we want to think on the subject of humble service. And I would like to read Philippians 2 verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or a thing to be clung to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I'd like to read an illustration that I found this years ago. One day, crossing the New York City street, a woman became confused and stepped directly in front of an approaching streetcar. People on both sides of the street were horrified and sure she would be killed. But in a moment, a strong man rushed out, rescued, and carried her to safety on the sidewalk. It was a miracle of bravery and quick thinking. A policeman said to the hero, "I'll have to report this incident, sir, and I ought to mention your name for valor." "There will be no necessity for mentioning my name." "But I must put down something, sir," the policeman insisted. Then the hero smiled and said, "Just put down that a black man did it." And with that, he disappeared in the crowd. A ripple of admiration went softly through the crowd. A black man did it. What modesty, what quiet dignity, what an honor to the entire race of black men. Later, they found out it was Dr. Robert Morton who was president of Tuskegee Institute. Now, think of Jesus's birth, and we celebrate that every Christmas. And then he grew up, and when he became about 30 years of age, he presented himself to John the Baptist for baptism, and then was tempted of the devil, showing us that he was qualified to be our great high priest. And he entered the last 3.5 years of his life in humble service. At the beginning of these few years, he was presented as the King of Israel. John the Baptist said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus himself preached, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then at the end of his life, he was questioned by Pilate, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And when he was placed on the cross, a sign was placed over his head that said, "This is Jesus, the king of the Jews." He truly was the king. Isaiah had prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." And that's found in Isaiah 9:6. But in between his birth and his death, during these last 3.5 years, he did not conduct himself as a king. Rather, he humbled himself and was deeply involved in humble service. He lived as a servant. I'd like to read Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Each of the gospel writers presented Jesus in a different way. Matthew presented him as the King of Israel, the one who will one day rule over Israel. Luke presented him as the Son of Man, he who was truly man. And then John presented him as the Son of God. He was truly God, and John emphasized his deity. And then again, Mark presented him as the servant, the one who ministered to others, who served others. A servant is interested in doing his work quickly and doing it well so that he can please his master. Mark used the words immediately 17 times. In Mark chapter 6, verse 50, Mark chapter 6, verse 50, we read, "For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And that's just an example, and he used that word immediately 17 different times. And then he used the word straightway 19 times, and that has the thought of he did this right away. He did it immediately. In Mark chapter 8, verse 10, Mark 8, verse 10, we read, "And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmatia. And so that word, we see again and again that when Jesus served, he did things right away. He did it immediately. And then going along with this thought, we read at the end of the Gospel of John, in John chapter 21, verse 25, we read, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written, or that should be written." You see, Jesus did so much during those 3.5 years that probably the world could not hold all that could have been written about him. The psalmist prophesied of him in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. It says, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." Now, those last 3.5 years were packed full of ministering to others, doing what the Heavenly Father had sent him to do when he came to earth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, which we read at the beginning, remember it said, "He made himself not some famous person." He didn't come to just be a famous person. And it also says, "He took upon him the form of a servant." Jesus willingly left the beauty, the comforts, the joy, and all the blessings of heaven to come to earth and become a servant, and then to, at the end, die for our sin. We can't imagine the sacrifice involved in this move, but it was his love for us that led him to do this. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And Jesus loved us so much that he came here to do this. As someone has said, he left his comfort zone to become involved in the lives of others. In Luke chapter 2, 41 to 49, and you don't need to look these up, but if you're taking notes, write down the reference. Luke 2, 41 to 49, and in that portion we read that as a 12-year-old boy, His parents took him to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. And they went home, but he stayed behind to minister to the religious leaders in the temple. He wanted to do that rather than immediately go home. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, he was hungry because he went 40 days without food in the wilderness. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, we are told that foxes have holes to sleep in, and birds have nests to rest in and raise their young. But Jesus had no home of his own to live in, to eat in, and to work in, and to sleep in. John 4:6 tells us that Jesus was weary because of the long trip to Sychar, where he could minister to and save the woman at the well, as well as many Samaritan men. And Mark chapter 4, verse 38, tells us that he was sleeping on a boat during a fierce storm because of the long, tiring day that he had experienced. And Mark chapter 6, 32 to 34, tells us that Jesus sailed across the Sea of Galilee with his disciples to be able to be alone with them and get some rest. However, a multitude went around the sea and met him on the other side. So Jesus spent the day teaching them and ministering to them. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, tells us that before he chose his 12 disciples, he spent all night in prayer. And John 13, verses 4 to 5, tells us that in the upper room, before they ate the feast of the Passover together, Jesus took a basin of water and a towel and washed the disciples' feet. That was a task that was usually done, that was usually the responsibility of servants, but Jesus did it to his disciples. In John 13:18, chapters 13-18, tell us that the night before Jesus was crucified, instead of spending it alone before the awful ordeal of the cross, he spent most of the time ministering to and teaching the disciples. Luke chapter 23, verses 40 to 43, tell us that though he was suffering intensely on the cross, he still saved the repentant thief and gave him the promise of comfort and hope. And in John 19, verses 26 to 27, again, when he was on the cross, though he was suffering intensely, he commanded John to take care of his mother, Mary. And lastly, before his death, he prayed for us. And I want to read John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20. And here we read, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Also, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And we read that in Matthew 26:39. Instead of turning away from the cross, he willingly took our sin upon himself and took our place as our substitute and paid the penalty for our sin, that it might be possible for us to have our sin forgiven and have everlasting life. Yes, Jesus willingly entered the world of mankind to reach them and minister to them. Years ago, Dr. Joseph Stoll, who was president at that time of Moody Bible Institute, told of an incident that had taken place in his life. They had run out of coffee in their home. He was so busy that day that he did not have time to go to the store to get some more. So early the next morning, he ran to a convenience store to get some. Outside the door of the convenience store stood a homeless man dressed very poorly. As Dr. Stoll passed by, he passed by to enter the store, the man said to him, "I'm really not a bad guy. I'm really not a bad guy." But Dr. Stoll said he quickly entered the store, got his coffee, and came back out. And again, he had to pass right by the homeless man, who again said, "I'm really not a bad guy. I'm really not a bad guy." And Dr. Stoll said, "I was so busy that I just rushed by and went home." But those words and that incident haunted him. Here was an opportunity that God gave him to minister to this man, and he didn't take it. He thought he was too busy to take time to minister to that homeless man, and he couldn't forget it. It haunted him. So there's a question. Do we let opportunities of ministry pass by us sometimes? Are we truly servants? Are we like Jesus, willing to leave our comfort zone to enter into the world of others and to minister to them? You see, God wants us to be Christ-like, to be like Him, and to be true servants of His, and to be humble servants, not to minister to make ourselves look good, but to minister to others and meet the needs of others, and seek to be faithful in serving the Lord and doing the will of God for our life. Is that true of us? And of course, first of all, we must know Jesus as our Savior before we can be His servant. We must have repented of our sin and asked God to forgive us and receive Jesus as our Savior. And then we become a child of God, and as a child of God, we need to be true, faithful, humble servants of His. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You for this time that we've had in Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. And You've told us to let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. And He was truly a humble servant. And Lord, I pray that each of us might also be humble servants and faithfully serve You and humbly serve You, seeking to glorify Your name in everything we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.